I'm sorry for getting you off.
Aside from my comment, it was all Torah.
Tanu Rabbanan. We're like 10 lines down on Vav Omud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. Oh, so take these sheets. There's a posuk, says Dvarim Kaf Gimel. Motzas vatecha tishmor vaasita kaasher nadarta l'Hashem Elokecha nidava asher dibarta beficha. Which you could summarize as saying, you got to do what you got to do. Right? You got to keep your promise to bring your nedarim, your nedavot, your whatever comes out of your mouth, all of your vows and oaths and etc. You have to keep them paid up to Hashem. So the pasuk tries to learn out from this all types of things. Tanu Rabbanan. Motzes fatecha, zo mitzvat aseh. There's a mitzvat aseh to, Rashi says, demistama achi amar kra, motzis fatecha kayim. What you promise to do, you have to keep. Keeping your promise is a mitzvat aseh. Tishmor, zo mitzvat lo taseh. It's a little strange, because tishmor sounds like aseh, right? Do it. But tishmor, guard yourself against. Well, guard yourself against not keeping your promise, not keeping your vow. Vasita, you see, he's darshening every word in the pasuk. Vasita, azhara lebetin shiasucha. Right. So wait a second. You see the Rashi on tishmor zumitzvat lo tase shelo ta'acher. Rabbi Avin, Omer Rabbi Eli, Kol Makom Shneemar Tishmor Pen Vaal V'chulei. Right, these are all
like with Shabbat.
Like we say with Shabbat, Zachor is the mitzvah Ase, V'Shamor is the mitzvah Lotase. Right, Vasita Al Korcha Mikana Zhara LeBetin Lachuf. Right, Vasita, do it. That's telling the Betin to do it. Asita means the betin is required to make sure that you do it. Sheya'asucha. Right? If you don't keep your promise, the betin is authorized to force you to do it.
It's only because of a neder.
We'll see. Ka'asher nadarta, ze neder. You looked ahead. Lashem elokecha, elu chata'ot v'ashamot v'olot u'shlamim. Nidava kemashmo, right? Nidava is a nidava, a volunteer gift to Beit HaMikdash. Asher dibarta elu kodshei bedek habayit, right? Kodshei bedek habayit. There's no rush there. Kodshei bedek habayit is things that you vow, not korbanot, but to the general upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. Beficha zut tzedakah. Right? That's just any general promise of tzedakah that you have. So Omar Mar. So that's how the Gemara first darshens that pasuk. As a source for all of these things. Include, how do we get to this topic, by the way? Because of lota acher. Right, that you can't be late in bringing you have to bring a korban, right? So you have the three regalim to bring it, right? And you can't violate the lo ta'acher. So the Gemara says this is a source for that and all of these other related ideas that you got to do what you said you're going to do.
I think everything else is necessarily has to do with the Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
What is neder?
It's a neder to bring a korban.
I don't think it's exclusive
to korban.
Well, in as neder kamashmo, it could be a neder that's not Beit HaMikdash connected. Lashem Elokecha. Kro yeteru l'drashen rabot davar shebechova. So Omar Mar, Motzis Fatecha, Zo Mitzvat Aseh. Now the Gemara learns out. Lamali. Is that a Gemara wants to say on each of these things, or at least the first half of them, what do you need this pasuk for? Because there's a different pasuk. You know Gemara is like this. The Gemara says this we learn from that. So the Gemara says, Lamali, what do we need to learn it from that for? We can learn it from someplace else. So Motzisvatecha, Zo mitzvat ase. Lamali, why do I need to learn from that pasuk? Uvata shama vehaveta shama. So there are three other psukim. These three psukim that you have in the second row. The pasuk says, "Ki im ela makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha mikol shiftechem lasum et shmo sham leshichno tidrashenu uvata shama vehaveta shama." The pasuk says, "When there be Beit Hamikdash, so you have to bring uvata shama when you get there vehavetam shama." You have to bring the karbanot there. Olotechem, zivchem, etc. So Gemara says, what do you need a pasuk to say this mitzvah say to bring the karbanot to Beit HaMikdash? We have a different pasuk that says you have to go to Beit HaMikdash and bring it. Right? What?
Does it matter that you have two pasuk and they teach at the same time?
Yeah, because generally we have this idea that there's one source for each halakha. And if there's another source, or if it looks like another source, it must be for a separate halakha. So tishmor zu mitzvat lo taseh lamali. So what do I have to say? Tishmor means, it's a mitzvah. You see this nice chart that I made.
Yeah.
So where do we learn that out from? Where do we learn out the idea that there is such a thing as bal ta'acher? Me lo ta'acher l'shalmo. There's a beferish pasuk. That's the pasuk earlier in two pasukim earlier in Perek Kaf Gimel. The pasuk we've been working with, Kitidor Neder Lashem Elokecha Lo Ta'acher L'Shalmo. So what do I need a different pasuk? What do you need to tell me? Tishmor, which, like, if you have these two sources, and you have to guess which looks like it's the home address for the idea of Lo Ta'acher, the pasuk that says Tishmor, or the pasuk that says Lo Ta'acher. So Nafka, we can learn it from that. Vasita, the pasuk that we learned, Vasita means you have to do it. What does it mean you have to do it? If you don't do it, Azhara lebetin shiasucha.
We're basing this on Rashi, but is that the only way to read it? In other words, we're saying that Rashi said that Shmor was lotacher. But couldn't this be not doing it at all?
What are you talking about?
No, we said, yeah. You said that the...
Zomitzud lotase. Oh, okay.
So lotacher, right?
Oh, so you want to say
lotacher?
Okay.
But if it doesn't have to be lotacher, then suddenly you could see there's something else to learn, like not doing it at all versus.
So that might be an answer to the question. But the Gemara assumed that tishmor means lotacher. Where does Rashi get the idea that tishmor means lotacher? Because the Gemara itself says that it's redundant to the pasuk of lotacher. Right. Now, if you hadn't prepared ahead. You might. There's some benefits. You don't always have to prepare ahead.
I never know if I'm going to call to another meeting.
Yeah, but if you don't prepare ahead, there is only one advantage to being unprepared for shir. It leaves your mind fresh to anticipate possibilities that are going to get blocked out when you know the maskana of the Gemara. Since you obviously all prepared ahead and learned the maskan of the Gemara, you're no longer of the fresh mindset. But if, imagine we could erase your memories. If you, Kaviyochel, you could imagine such a... Imagine that you could forget what the next few lines of the Gemara are going to say. Right. I hope you don't seem to be appreciating my biting, sarcastic sense of humor.
Kind of ashamed because we didn't prepare.
It's been a while since this was in Daf Yomi, so it's all right. Oh yeah, okay. So you might anticipate this might be a turn that the Gemara. Look, that's, by the way, that's when you're learning. It's always a good exercise to try to guess. Okay, we're in a corner. We're in a pickle here, right? What might the Gemara anticipate? What might the Gemara ask? So you might say the Gemara should say. And it would be very logical to guess this. It happens, you'd be wrong, but it's very logical to guess that the Gemara is going to say, no, 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 no. We think there's a problem. It's not exactly a stira. It's a problem that you have two psukim saying the same thing, which is something we like to avoid. Just like we don't like to have two tanaim disagreeing. And we certainly never like to have a tana disagreeing with himself. So when you have two statements, Rabbi Akiva says X and Rabbi Akiva says Y, and they're in contradiction, what's the Gemara's usual first impulse?
You didn't understand this first.
Apples and oranges. In this statement, you thought they were in contradiction. No, they're talking about two separate cases. So in a case like this, it's not exactly a conflict, but there's a problem. It's a technical problem that you have two psukim that are saying the same thing, a redundancy, which we don't like to have. So you might anticipate that Gemara would say, apples and oranges. No, Tishmor is talking about this, and Lo Ta'acher is talking about that. It happens not to be the case. But I understand why you might have anticipated that. How does Rashi get the idea that Tishmor, in the first part of the Gemara, is Lo Ta'acher? Because that's precisely how the Gemara reads it.
Spoiler
alert, right.
Tishmor is that you should be careful that you do it. Atacher means you should do it on time.
No, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Motzei Sfatecha, that's the mitzvah to say to make sure that you do it. What comes out of your mouth, be careful to fulfill your promise. Tishmor, that was the point that I just said a minute ago. Tishmor, even though Tishmor sounds like a mitzvah to say, do it. Right? Tishmor is a mitzvah lo taseh. Right? Tishmor means don't be late in doing it. Right? Like Shamor et Shabbat l'kadsho. Right? Sounds like a mitzvah aseh, because it wants you to do something. But what does it want you to do? It wants you to make sure that you don't violate it. It wants you to make sure that you don't do any averus.
It's an interesting interpretation of Dov l'shamra. Maybe like the not eating from the tree was the lo taseh of that initial mitzvah.
So vasita azhara lebetin shiasucha. That's a warning to the. It's a caution to the betin to make sure that people keep their promise. They have police authority to make sure you pay up what you've vowed. Lamali, we could have learned it from yakrivoto. Oto lirtsono. You see that pasuk, the last pasuk in Vayikra, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Im ola korbano min habakar, zachar tamim yakrivenu, el petach oel moed, yakriv oto lirtsono lifnei Hashem. So we could learn out the idea that Betin can force you to do it from the pasuk of yakriv oto. So how do you learn that out from yakriv oto? Detanya yakriv oto milamed shekofin kofinoto ad kofinoto yechol bal korcho. The Betin can force you to bring the korban. Well, that's a problem if you don't want to. Because what do you need to do when you do a mitzvah?
You have to want to do it.
So that's what they learn from the word lirtsono. That's what, in other words, where do we know this idea of kofinoto from?
With get.
The Gemara says that if a husband has to give the get freely, this is the technical problem that we have today, that a husband can kind of hold up the get if he says, I don't want to do it. So the Gemara says in the Rambam Paskins, Kofinoto ad sheyomer rotse'ani, which is not an option that we have today, although there are all types of stories. It's a beferish episode of The Sopranos.
Why do you say it's not an option?
Because we don't go around beating on people.
There's sanctions.
It's not with you don't hit him on the head with a stick. There are sanctions. You put him in jail.
In Brooklyn, they tend to do that.
The whole idea of the what's called the halachic prenup, where a person commits himself to financial penalties if the marriage breaks down and the betin says you have to give a get, and if he doesn't do it, so then he has financial penalties that are very onerous. So that's also a form of kfiya. We're putting financial pressure, which some ways is is more pressure than hitting you with a stick.
For Jews.
There's a Sopranos episode like this. where they hire the mafia guys, these frumer yidden, hire the mafia guys to come and beat up the husband. These is like the satmar. They beat their husband, and he won't give in. Like he's this like skinny little yingle, and the mafia guy calls up the godfather and says, "I never saw anything like this. You know, these are guys, they put him in cement. I never saw anything like this. This guy, you know, he's got the payas and the glasses, and he says, he's like a bull. He won't give in. We can hit him as much, and he doesn't. He says he's not gonna give that divorce." So they go to the guy, and it's like a line right out of like an NCSY skit, or NCSY session. They say to him, who do you think you are? We're going to kill you. You're going to give us. He says, "I don't care, you kill me. But I'm not doing this." So he says, "Where do you come up with this?" So he gives him this he's like all beat up and bloody. He's there in his kapota. He says, "Look, you know, the Jews, no matter what you do to us, we always come back. You know, the Babylonians came and the Persians came and the Romans came. And where are all those people now?" And the mafia guy says, "You want to know where the Romans are? You're looking at them." So Kofanoto Achio Marotsani, the Rambam says, how could it be? You have to give the get willingly. So if you're only giving it so I stop whacking you on the head, it's a problem. So the Rambam says no. When he says, "I'll do it," even though it's like only to stop the beating, that's the real him speaking. Right? Everybody wants to do the right thing. Right? So even though it looks like it's a little bit forced, it's not forced. We're forcing him to do what he really wants to do. Okay, this is not an option that we exercise today, at least in normal cases. Although there are stories of things with electric prods and chainsaws and other types of nasty business. So similarly here, you have to bring the korban. It has to be lirtsono. Right? So how do you?
Lirtsono when he made the net.
So that's, and it's the idea being that you want to do the right thing.
When you make a neder to bring the korban.
Yeah.
This is what we're learning. Can you bring a korban without having made a neder?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You just show up with your.
Right, so basically, it's a two-part thing here. Exactly. I would say also, even though we said that the asita is that you shouldn't go to the shalmo, whatever. But so if you made a neder and you bring the korban, so you bring the korban as a mitzvah, you get a mitzvah for that, and you also should get a mitzvah for the asita, a separate mitzvah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the second mitzvah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Neder.
Like, can you spontaneously give a korban? Like, let's say you're riding your ox to Yerushalayim, and you're not planning on bringing any korbanos, but you're by base of Mikdash anyway, and you look at the ox, and the ox looks at you, and you say, "Here you go." Yeah, and you can be makdish it on the spot, but there has to be that maaseh akdasha. So let's say he's makdish, and then let's say he's there on the spot, and spontaneously he's makdish the ox, and then he remembers his ox is also his ride home. So he says, "I'll bring it back. I'll bring it after." Right? I mean, this happens all the time. There's like an appeal for something, right? And they say, "Everybody, you know, they're calling out the appeal. You're at a dinner. You're at a something."
Right?
You get those cards from Shari Tzedek with the little tabs you can turn down. They used to have them.
And given shul.
Yeah. So, no, I was once in Rabbi Tendler's shul, and they were doing an appeal. And everybody's giving chai, tzvei times chai, 10 times chai. Rabbi Tendler gets up and says, "Enough with the chai, boys. Better you should give mavis. Chai is what kills shuls." You can do the gematria. Nobody's laughing tonight. These are good jokes.
Mm-hmm. That we've heard.
Doesn't matter. You never watch reruns?
What's even more funny is the fact that it's a true story.
It is a true story.
I know. My father was there, I know.
Yes.
How many times has he told that line?
Anyway, so So you know, so you make a pledge. They say, okay, you know, you can pay right here. Well, I don't have any money on me. I don't have my checkbook on me. Or Shabbos. Now you know they have in the shuls in America. They have these. They look like the. They look like the Ravkav machines. In lobbies of shul, you go. You want to make a. You swipe your credit card. You make your donation right there in the lobby. No, not on Shabbos, but like
some shuls, it's on Shabbos.
We had a guy come to our shul a few weeks ago in the morning.
Your shul?
The question is: is it allowed to do Shabbat? Why not?
Yeah.
He was collecting for something. And he had
was it for saving the shul?
He had a machine that you could buy.
Oh yeah,
really?
Oh really?
I tell you, by the way,
can you do that on Shabbat? There's no reason why you can't do it on Shabbat. The transaction is done when you phone in. I mean, it's not done on the spot.
I don't think so. You can't credit card purchases on Shabbat.
No. You're not actually making the transaction. The transaction is only when you phone through and actually make the download to your bank. He just stores it.
We don't pick up credit cards to show us.
Any electric device?
It's not carrying.
No, it's a problem. I can't tell you how many times.
PayPal.
How many times someone comes to the door, and we simply don't. I can go days at a time without having any cash on me. You go to the supermarket. The woman sitting up by the supermarket on Friday. Who has cash anymore? I so often don't have cash on me.
I was making a point before I go out.
I have time. Yeah, that's why I don't have cash, because the kids took my money. Anyway, go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Yakrivoto melamed shekofinoto yachol bal korcho. Yachol bal korcho? They can force you to give a korban against your will? They can twist your arm to give the korban? Talmud lomar lirt, so no. You have to. It says you have to do it willingly. So how can the Beit Din force you to do it? Ha, Kate said. How could it be? How could it be that Beit Din can force you to do it if you have to do it willingly? Kofanoto ad shiomer rotzani. You want to tell the punchline? I don't want to tell a joke that you're not going to laugh.
No.
In the Academy of Lashon Evrit, there was once a kenes. This is a true story, where somebody says. That you in other words, it's not proper to say lo ohev. You should say eini ohev. It's not. You shouldn't say lo rotze. You should say eini rotze. So somebody said that's very nice. And it's like the debate between should language reflect some pristine ideal? Like this is like the curiosity of modern Hebrew. It's a language which is in formation as we speak it. In ways, that's true for every language to a certain degree, but in ways that are more fluid than languages that have an uninterrupted tradition of being a daily common spoken language. So somebody said we have to teach people to say, Eini rotze, Eini ohev, Eini whatever, instead of lo rotze, lo ohev. So somebody countered, but that's not the way people speak. You can't turn everyone into walking around talking agnonic. So the person responded, Kofino tam ad sheyomar eini rotze. Instead of rotze ani. Kofino to ad sheyomar rotze ani.
Now you got me.
Yeah, good. Did you not know that one?
I did not know that.
Really? I told you a joke about the Academia that you didn't know.
Yeah, was this a joke? Was this true?
It's reported as having been a true story. So Chad Omar.
Is this a blanket for all mitzvot? Is this something specific?
No. In other words, there's certain mitzvot that it's not a problem to force someone to do. If you have a debt to him, right? You have to pay your debt. If you don't pay your debt, we have an idea of Hefker Betin. Betin can come and confiscate your property and give it to him whether you like it or not. Why? Because we don't require you to want to give the money. You just have to give the money. But then there's certain mitzvot, like a get. A get requires the husband to give it freely.
Exactly.
So a korban requires...
Do you use the same source, or is there a different source for the case of the get? Is this a source only for case of a korbanot?
No, this in this particular case, the mechanism is the same. Right, the mechanism of Kofanot Hashem or Otseni is the same.
Has to go back to a source. No, but yeah, we use this pasuk to tell you that yes, to have so no, just by the korban. How do you know?
No. Well, in other words, here we have the, that's this is the source for the idea that the korban has to be given willingly.
Right.
But there's a stira because we can force you to do it. So how can we force you to do something willingly? Kofanot Hashem or Otseni. By the get. It's the same mechanism. He has to give it freely, right? And as we learn that,
no, we only know he has to give it freely because it says here it's church, so no,
right? So we're, by get. No, by get it says v'natan biyado, biyada. Chazal learned that out that he has to. And it's Chazal learned out from the psukim in Kitetze that he has to give it freely. Okay. So the Gemara says, how does
when we say so no, we're talking about here. In the case of has to give freely, we're talking about korbanot. And not about other mitzvot. We're talking about specifically for korbanot and not necessarily for other mitzvot.
No, because many mitzvot are not required to be done of your own free will. You can be forced into them and there's no problem. The problem exists when there's a mitzvah that you have to do freely, but yet the betin is still allowed to force you. So we do that through this mechanism of kofinoto, adji omer rotzeani.
Maybe I missed something here, but why do we have a havamina that the betin should force a mitzvah tefila? What other mitzvot tasei or mitzvot los tasei ben adam l'makom does betin never force anybody to do?
Well, first of all, there's a pasuk they learned from Vasika.
Here there's a special limud that says the betin can. The drasha and the pasuk on the word vasita means shiyasucha.
So it's a special drash for this particular mitzvah.
For this halacha. That in this list of things that a person has vowed or
that
pledged.
The betin probably like has no idea that somebody has a vow and he didn't do it for regalim and
Yichalit. But if they do become aware, it could be a person makes a neder. You don't have to publicize your neder, right? A person can make a neder, and he goes back on the neder, and nobody, only it's between him and Hashem, right? Then he gets up to Shemayim, it's on the books. But there are other cases where people make public nedarim, that the in the shul, the person says, there's no neder, $5, that's a public neder.
I assume the case.
And as a matter of fact, that might be a case of, there's a, we learn this in nedarim, of a neder shehuda barabim. A neder that's made in a public forum is more difficult to do hatarat nedarim for.
I would imagine.
Right? Because it's a public, it's a more... Right. You should have taken it a little more seriously before you got up there in shul and said... You know, that's why people say, you know, in shuls where they do a Misha Berach after an aliyah, people often make a... They say, a matona. Because you don't want to say how much money you're giving. But even if you just say matana, you should be, you know, like a lot of times, this happens to me when I'm in Chutz Laretz. Like I'm a guest in a shul. They want to honor me by giving me an aliyah, which is...
But they still
wanna,
say...
Right, but they want to... But they want to, you know, they want to, like, I have to, like, niggle with them over how much the honorarium is going to be for me to fly out to your community in America. But I get an aliyah, they want me to make a Misha Berach. So I say matana, but then I have to remember to... Send a check or, you know, whatever it is.
If only Betin could keep track for you.
Yeah, the point is that Betin can police the...
No, but I mean, it's like this is the most impractical thing. Even if somebody makes a public neder, right? She says, okay, so I got a year to do it. So when's Betin going to come knocking on his door? It's Erev Yontov. It's like, yeah, but I still got four hours.
The point is, look, there are lots of authority that we give to the government to police things, which they either do or they don't.
Yeah, but this is like a Yotze Dofen, that we have a special pasuk that Betin can force you, but it's just not
right,
practical.
So Betin can't force me to say, Betin can't force me to daven.
We don't have a pasuk for Betin, that's what I'm saying.
Say that, but the point is that if Betin, if we live in town, in a traditional society, so everybody knows who comes to shul. So if I don't show up in shul for a couple of days, they either think I'm dead, or they think I'm a heretic. Those were like the only two options. No, people didn't. There was no such thing as vacation.
Okay.
Right? You were either dead or on your way, or you were like in the kibbutz. Like in the kibbutz at that tea. right? The balaniot kept track of who was coming to mikveh and who wasn't coming to mikveh. And if a woman didn't come to mikveh, the balanit would sidle up to you in the chadar ochel and say b'sha tova. Right? Because there was only one reason you wouldn't come to mikveh if you were a woman of between this age and that age. If you were a married woman between this age and that age, it was because you were b'sha tova. Right? So people in the kibbutzim found this...
I've never heard that. I'm not surprised, but it's...
In some kibbutz, I don't know if they did it, but this was known that in certain kibbutz that they would do this. And, you know, but it was also a way of kind of policing, right? In other words, it was a way of telling the woman, we got our eye on you. Right, we know. Like, if more than a month or so has passed, you haven't showed up. It's not like you had a calendar that Mrs. So and So was here last month on the 18th of the month. So, it was a small kibbutz. There were only so many women of hilchot nida of mikveh going age, and if a woman like absented herself for a period of time, somebody had to take note of it. So, but Bet Din doesn't have the authority to come to my house, and you know.
I agree. That's right? What I'm saying. This is like.
So in this case, Bet Din has whether it was practical, whether it could be carried out, whether anybody was tracking these things.
There's also a reason for this, because like some of these during the Kohanim would get stuff. I mean, there was, besides the pasuk,
like the government can police that you give your taxes. That you pay your taxes. So to a certain degree, that's not true for nedavot, it's not true for tzedakah, it's not true for other, but to a certain degree it was to keep track of...
I guess right, because they could force you to bring the korban after its time.
Right.
So the korban can say he's over Jew.
In Stieblach, three times a year they hang up a poster, in Yerushalayim, they hang up a poster that after Shal Shrigalim, they say... we had, you know, it was Yisker, and you know, in Yisker, it's customary people make bavur shabli neder ten staka bad right nishpatam. So, it is, if you stam make that neder, unless you like say, first of all, you want to say Yisker without saying the tztaka, you don't have to give tztaka to say Yisker. It's a nice thing to do, right? You could say bavur shetpalel, right, or just skip that line ba'avur. You can still say, but stam the nusach of Yisker is she'etend staka ba'ad askarat nishmatam. So stam, you say that without like saying that I'm going to give staka to whatever their favorite charity was, to cancer research, to this chazdei shmil, to that tomchei yatomim, whatever it is, right? Stam, it just goes to the Beit Knesset where you say the Yisker. So they put up a poster, you know, like the week after Yisker, reminding people, you davened here, you know, your nedavat Yisker should, you know, can be put into that box, right? To remind you, it's like a way of kind of policing. It's the kind of thing that people forget, because you know, by the time Yom Kippur is over, who remembers what you know? So, but that idea that that they do have this authority to try to police, encourage, whatnot is just a fact. So the Gemara says. So we have these two. That was a side. The whole thing about kofenoto was a sidetrack, right? In other words, the point is that there's two psukim. One is vasita, and the other is yakrivoto lertzono, and both are used to say the Bet Din can do the thing, right? Then there was this parenthetical discussion of how can Bet Din force you to do something that you have to do freely. Kofenoto achimarotzani. So the Gemara says, what do we need these two separate limudim? So Gemara says, chad amar velo afresh, v'chad afresh velo akrev. It's two separate cases, right? The first limud is a person who made a vow, said a vow, da amar velo afresh, but he didn't yet set aside the animal. And the other is chad afresh velo akrev. They set aside the animal, but yet did not bring it to Beit HaMikdash. And you have two different limudim for these two different matzavim, these two different situations. Vitzricha, and you have to have two different limudim. Why? De'i ashma'inan omar v'lo afresh mishum d'lo kaima lidiburei. If in the case if it only taught the case of a person who makes a vow but yet doesn't set aside the animal or doesn't set aside the money, so then you might have said Mishum delo kaime lidibure. Then we could say the problem is he didn't keep his word. Because he said he was going to do something, and then what did he do? Garnished. Right? Like everybody does. You say I'll give $5 to Beit Knesset, and then you don't do a thing. Right? So for that we might think you need a limud. Aval afresh velo akrev a makol hecha de ita be gaza de rachmana ite. So I might have thought, but in the case where I, you know, people do this all the time. I had a guy did this. I went to a guy once to give a donation to Atid, to my organization. It's like, you know, it's like an unpleasant thing, right? So I went and I asked him. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm going to give you something," and then I never heard from him. Never sent it in. You know, I sent him the envelope and sent him a reminder. Okay, it happens. And then I saw him a few months later. He said, "You never came to get the check." I said, "What do you mean I never came to get the check?" He said, "I wrote out a check." Right? Like, instead of giving it to me when I was there, he wrote out a check. Didn't tell me he'd written out a check. Right. It's sitting on his desk for 6 months. Doesn't respond to my emails. Doesn't whatever. It's my responsibility. No, he wrote out a check.
It's a game.
So
power game too.
Whatever it is, maybe it was an honest mistake, but maybe he's listening to this right now. I'll still take the check.
Maybe, but in general, right? People do this.
But, so in other words, if you actually took action, so we could say, that check, whose check is that? Maybe it belongs to me.
Yeah.
Right?
It was afrish.
In other words, if I mafrish something, or if I makdish something, right, the minute that I makdish that little goat, chad gadya, whose is it?
The moment you wrote a teed on the check, it should be this
famous mafrish. Yeah, okay. If he rips up the check, is he stealing it from me? Probably not. But not morally, not maybe.
Technically, yeah.
Right. So, but the minute that I makdish that little goat, where's the goat? The goat's in my barn. But the minute that I makdish that goat, whose goat is that?
Whoever you makdish.
Beit HaMikdash. No, Beit HaMikdash.
Well, right? Say there's a fire and the goat dies.
Yeah.
So then it's Beit HaMikdash's loss. You don't have to
make another goat.
No,
Mapitom.
I have to pay.
Because you made a promise.
No, you said you're going to give that goat. You're going to give that goat.
Oh, no. So that's the difference between a neder and a nadava. The Gemara is going to get the. Very good, you looked ahead. The Gemara is going to get to this difference between a neder and a nadava, right? If I say I'm giving this goat to Beit HaMikdash, a nadava, and the goat drops dead, Beit HaMikdash, you're out of luck, right? If I say I'm going to give a goat to Beit HaMikdash, or I'm going to give a certain value of money to Beit HaMikdash, right? Let's say I have a wad of $100 bills. Right? Let's say I have $1,000 and $100 bills, and I say I'm going to give $1,000 to Beit HaMikdash. And then I lose the money, or it falls down the drain, or it catches on fire. I still owe $1,000 to Beit HaMikdash. So is a kol hecha de'ita be gazei derachmana, it's as if it's already in the treasure house of Shamayim. Right, so I might have thought in the case where he was, where he was mafrish, you'd be off the hook. Sricha, kamash malon. No, you're chayev in both cases. In both cases, that's why you need two separate limudim. Hold on to them in your gemara.
Next week we have shir. The week after.
Next week we have shir, but then I'm away for 2 weeks.
Probably
yes, we will.